So in Masechet Psachim on Daf Zayin Amud Bet, the last line, Tanu Rabbanan, the Braita states, En botkin lo le'or hachama ve'lo le'or halevana. We don't do bedikat chametz, not to the light of the sun, not to the light of the moon, ve'lo le'or ha'avuka, not to the light of a torch, ela le'or haner, only to the light of a candle. Why is that? Because the light of the candle is what is effective for bedikat chametz. It's the best for bedikat chametz, as the Gemara will explain soon. And then the Braita finishes, even though there's not a re'aya, but there is a zecher to the fact that we have to use or aner, Shenemar, and then we have these the four part or five part gezerah shava, which we spoke about last week. Shivat yamim se'or lo yimatze bevatechem, yimatze being the key word. Ve'omer vaychapes bagadol echel uvagadol kila vayimatze hagavia. So over there you have vayimatze, and it says vaychapes. Ve'omer ba'et ha'i achapes et Yerushalayim banerot. So you have chapes and nerot. Ve'omer ner Hashem nishmat adam chofes kol chadrei vaten. So that's how we see that or haner is good for the chipus to be motze v'chametz. So that's the end of the Braita. Now the Gemara is going to ask on what it said in the beginning, or hachama, that we don't check to the light of the sun, to sunlight. So the Gemara asks a technical question, practical question. Hai or hachama hechidami? This or hachama that you're saying that I should not check to, what check with? What is the scenario? What's the case that we're talking about? Hechidami. Ineima b'chatzer, if we're talking about checking out our, let's say, the backyard, the chatzer, so that you're going to do in the daytime, so using the sunlight is not good enough for bedikat chametz. If that's what you're trying to tell me, that can't be. Ha'amarava, Rava said, chatzer enat zecha bedika. Rava said, you don't need to do bedikat chametz in the chatzer. Why is that? Mipeneshe ha'orevim metzuyim sham. Because the crows, the ravens, the birds are always found there. If there's any chametz, believe me, they'll get to it. They have sharper instincts than us when it comes to that. They're able to zoom in on the smallest crumb. It's an amazing thing. On the smallest crumb of bread, they're able to, you know, come down and take care of it. So there's no chiyuv of bedikat chametz in one's chatzel because ha'orvim metzuyim sham. So what's the relevance of or hachama? Why does the Braita tell me, don't do bedikat chametz l'or hachama? Ela be'achsadra. It must be talking about be'achsadra, in the lobby leading into the house, where it's like a lobby, a hallway, that you still have sunlight coming in from the outside. It's lit up from the outside in a good time in the day. So to do bedikat chametz in the achsadra le'or hachama, that's what the Braita is saying is not good. Can't do that, can't rely on that. You have to wait till the night of the 14th and use or haner. But the Gemara says that can't be the case either. Because ha'amar Rava, Rava also told us, achsadra le'ora nivdeket. Rava told us that achsadra, a labi, can be checked le'ora, to its own light. You don't need to check le'ora ner. Look in Rashi, le'ora nivdeket, le'or shela nivdeket, ve'en tzarich le'avi la'ora ner ba'layla, ela botka ba'yom. When it comes to achsadra, you can check it in the day. So translate it into what we do, right? We clean up, we wash the floor, and we make sure there's nothing left on the floor. That's all. That's called le'ora nivdeket. You don't have to do bedikat chametz le'ora ner when it comes to achsadra. So we're back to the question, what is or hachama referring to in the Braita? What is it talking about? What is the Braita saying? Lo tzricha le'aruba debacheder. Aruba is a window. They used to have wide, like a big square window. And they didn't have, you know, like glass windows the way we have it. it would be totally open. You know, birds, yeah, on the side, but by on the walls, I'm saying, not necessarily a skylight, but by the wall, it would be totally open. Birds would freely come in and out. You know, that's how it was. And at night, of course, you would have shutters, you know, to close them. But that's called aruba de bachedo. Aruba means the either a skylight or a window of the cheder. So that is where the Braita is referring to when it says that you do bedikat chametz, do not do it le'ora chama. So the Gemara asks, udeheicha, but where specifically in the room are you telling me that the light that streams in the window is not enough? Ile behadi aruba, if we're talking about mamash, you know, directly to the sun in the window, on the windowsill, let's say, for example, so hainu achsadra. It's the same thing as achsadra. So just like you said, achsadra le'ora nivdeket, the aruba shebacheder also should be le'ora nivdeket, ela litzdadin. So the Gemara answers, we're talking about the sides of those windows, meaning the sun does not hit that area clearly. You have, let's say, crevices or holes in the side of the of those open windows. That's where you would have to actually use Or HaNer. So when it says, it's a very interesting thing, the Gemara here narrowed it down to such a case that when it says in the Braita, Lo Le'or HaChama, technically speaking, it can only be referring to such a case where maybe you would have thought Or HaChama would suffice. No, you need Or HaNer. Now the Gemara is going to talk about Avuka for a little while, because it said in the Braita, Lo Le'or HaAvuka, Ela Le'or HaNer. So the Gemara asks, Ve'avuka lo? What, you can't use the light of a torch? What's wrong with the light of a torch? It's much better than, it's more. It gives more light than a singular candle. Ve'ha'amar Rava, Rava himself, in this issue he said, Mai dichtiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk, in Chavakuk? It's a Pasuk that we read in the Haftarah in the second day of Shavuot. From Sefer Chavakuk, it says, "Venoga kaor tihye." The light, the shine of the tzaddikim in the future is going to be multiplied. They're going to shine much more. Venoga kaor tihye, karnaim miyadolo. They're going to be special rays of light coming from Hashem to the tzaddikim, v'sham chevyon uzo. But there, in the origin, in his place, chevyon uzo is the ultimate strength of light, is the peak of light. So Rava said on that pasuk, lema tzaddikim domim bifnei shechina, to what are the tzaddikim likened compared to the shechina? Kener bifnei havuka, like a candle compared to a torch. From the language of Rava, who said kener bifnei havuka, what do we see from here? That havuka gives off more light than a ner. So why is it lo le'ora havuka, ela le'ora ner? Look in Rashi, Rabotai. Venoga shel atid, the future light, la tzadikim, of the righteous, ke'or shel shivat yemei bereshit yeh. They're going to be illuminated like the light of Shivat Hayamim, of the days of creation. Karnaim over here does not mean horns, it means rays of light. Rashi brings the example from Moshe Rabbeinu. Milashon kikaran or panav, right? Kikaran or panav. We even use that in modern Hebrew today when we want to say radiation, right? So we say hakranot. So to be radiant, so that's keren, karnaim, milashon kikaran or panav. Vezaharurin miyad akadosh baruchu lo latzadik. Rashi is explaining the pasuk. Vekarnaim miyado lo. There will be radiance of light coming from Hashem to the tzadik. And Rashi now explains a little bit more at length. Miziv, so put a comma there after the word latzadik. Miziv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yelechu zaharurin, from the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will come forth rays of light, lehakrin pene hatzadikim, to give a radiance on the face of the tzadikim. Wow, that's something to imagine. If you ever want to sit back and to daydream something that's going to be of the days of Mashiach, so picture the face of a Rosh Yeshiva, of a tzadik, and just imagine as illuminated as he looks today, to see a tzaddik, to see the face of a Talmid Chacham, there's a lot of light that comes from the face of a tzaddik. Imagine in the time of Mashiach, it's going to be something, Keor Shivat Hayamim, Karnayim Yadolo, there are going to be special rays of light that will be conferred upon the tzaddik in this world. And yet, the Pasuk ends off by saying, Vesham Chevyon Uzo, but there, meaning from where those rays of light come, Chevyon Uzo, his strength is hidden. The shine of HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously is not something to be compared to. And Rava said that the tzaddikim compared to the Shekhinah will be kener bifnei ha'avuka. Bottom line, l'inyanenu, what do we see from these words of Rava? That what gives off more light? Avuka. Very simple. And not only that, we have another statement. Ve'amar Rava. Rava says, Avuka lehavdala mitzvah min ha-muvchar. That a avuka, a torch for a havdala, is the best mitzvah. So what do you see from me? Avuka is better. Why are you telling me for bedikat chametz not? So the Gemara is going to say a number of reasons here. Why is it that specifically for bedikat chametz, we require a ner, not a avuka? So let's see. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, ze yachol leachniso lachorin velazdakin, veze eno yachol leachniso lachorin velazdakin. One difference between the torchlight and the candlelight is that the candlelight is very small, it's very thin, and therefore it's able to penetrate into the smallest crevice, into the smallest hole. Whereas avuka, it's sometimes where there's too much light, when there's too much light, you're not able to give light into the small crevices, or we won't be able to see it, right? It might be giving light into the chorin and the zdakin, but we're not able to see it because you're focused so much on the ora gadol of the avuka. It's a big musar askel over here. Sometimes a person has to, this is the soda tzimtzum, right? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be mitzamtzem his light for us to be able to handle. Us meaning we are in the chorin and the zdakim, if you will. We're that small. So for us to be able to get a little bit from the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there had to be a tzimtzum. And so that's why the using of the ner is more important, because that's more effective when you have to narrow its light into smaller areas, whereas the avuka will not be useful in such a way. So that's according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, which means nobody is arguing that avuka gives off more light, but what is more practical for bedikat chametz is the or haner. Rav Zvid amar, Rav Zvid says, ze oro lefanav veze oro leacharav. Interesting way of putting it. Rav Zvid says that the light of the avuka is le'acharav. It gives light to behind. It doesn't give a life that is protruding forward. It illuminates behind the torch. Whereas the ner, if you're able to handle it and to point it towards where you want the light, then it gives you, you know, it's like a flashlight is something that's more controllable, right? So in a way, the ner is more controllable. You could actually decide where it's going to give you light, whereas the torch is always me'ir le'acharav. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, oro le'acharav ve'adam ha'ochazo lefanav hu bodek. See, oro le'acharav, meaning it's a fact that the torch gives light le'acharav, and the one who's holding it and trying to do bidika lefanav hu bodek. You're not checking behind you, you're checking in front of you. What's in front of you? Hilkach en yafe libdika. So Rashi is clearly explaining that the difference is between the direction of where the light is going. Avuka, when you walk with avuka, picture it. The light of the avuka is dragging backwards, it's going backwards. As you walk, it goes backwards. Right? Meaning, you picture what I'm saying. Whereas the nail is something that you can point forwards at your will. That's what seems to be from Rashi. Adam ha'ochazo lefanavu bodek. The one who's holding the avuka, he's trying to check in front of him. But the oro is le'acharav. Ilkach en yafe lebdika. Therefore, it's not good. That was Rav Zvid. Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa gives a very practical difference. Rav Papa Amar, hai ba'it. Ba'it. Who knows the meaning of the word ba'it? Bet ayin yutet. So what's the translation?
Seems like he's afraid of burning down his house.
So, so by the translation of bayit means afraid. So yeah, seems like Rashi says mityareh shelo yavir et habayit. Right. What? Well, what is that?
Where's the shoresh elish on that one?
Where's the shoresh? First of all, this is an Aramaic word. Do not mistake it for bayit. Rashi does not mean that the connection between the word bayit and bayit, there's no connection. Absolutely. Don't make that connection. One is an Aramaic word, one is an Hebrew word. Bayit, and we borrow it actually into Hebrew. We say lehavi'it. Lehavi'it means to scare someone, to like shock someone. And that comes from the Aramaic bayit, that he's scared. But Rashi just explains it. Mityareh shelo yavir et habayit. He's scared that he's not going to light up the house. Ve'en libo al abdika yafe. And therefore, his heart, his mind, is not focused properly on the bdika. He's scared not to burn the curtains or whatever it may be. So that's why you should not use the torch. Use the candle. It's less scary. Yes, Shachal.
Is that what the little Indian would say? Ibayit Emma.
No. No, I bayit ema, bayit there, is it, the taf is not part of the shoresh. You see, over here, bayit, the shoresh in Aramaic is bet ayin taf. And that is a shoresh that means pachad. It means scared. I bayit ema, the taf means if you want. It's the same, it's a different word. It means if you want, which means I ba'i, he wants. Ba'ita is if you want. So the taf is not part of the shoresh. Two different words. Two different words at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Seems to mean like to filter or allocate.
What word?
We're talking about Hashem seems to mean his light or something?
Yes. Filtering his light. Yes.
Okay.
Constricting it.
Another clicker of Nachum Bar Yitzchak again. This seems like he's coming around the town. I don't know what's up with that, but that's cool. And more importantly, I guess it seems like there is it fair to say that there seems like there's some connection between Tzadikim that are compared to Nair in front of an Avuka and somehow Havdalah Avuka leHavdalah Misvam and Amukhar. Is it fair to say that there's a connection between the two? And if so, what is it?
I only think in Pshat the Gemara is just bringing two statements from Rava that point out
separately
that Avuka has greater light than Ner. I don't think there's a connection between them. If you want to make some kind of a drush, that would be up to you. I would be more than willing to listen. The Gemara gives us the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth explanation here. Ravina Amar. Hai mashach nehora. The light of the candle streams quietly. It spreads nicely. It's drawn forth neatly. Vehai miktaf iktufe. The light of the torch is jumpy. It hops. It's popping. It's flying all over the place. And therefore, that's not going to be effective in the bidika either. Look in Rashi. Hai mashich nehore. Or haner, the light of the candle, nimshach uma'arich bimkomo. It stretches out in the location of where the candle is. Ve'eno dolek bikfitzut, or bikfitzot, ela nach bemakom echad. It's not jumping around, it's quiet. There's something to be said, there's something beautiful about the quietness of the flame of a candle. Miktafik tufe, whereas the torch, nifsak vekofetz tamid. It's choppy and it's jumpy constantly. Leshon hakotfim aluach, he brings a pasuk in Iyov Lamed, which kot liktof, even in modern Hebrew, also liktof means to pluck out, right? So when you're plucking something, you're going like this. It's jumping. So that's hakotfim aluach. So nifsak vekofetz tamid. What? Well, Maluach means salty things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And dolek, I don't know if
dolek bikfitzot. Dolek bikfitzot, it doesn't light in a jumpy way. It's lit up in a very quiet way. Elanach b'makom echad.
Yeah. No, I knew that was the word, but I didn't know what dolek means.
Dolek means lighting. I guess, you see, it was always bothering me, like, it seems like, what would be the problem with that? What's the problem with the fact that the avukah is miktav ketufe? So at first you think that the problem is it's scary, right? The person who's holding it will lose focus. So isn't that the same thing as what Rav Papa said, right? But I don't think that's the meaning of the Gemara. It's pashut that it's not. Ketufe means that it's choppy, right? So there is a second where it's actually, you know, it gives light, doesn't give light, gives light, doesn't give light. So, but
one's a chisaron in the light, one's a chisaron in your mindset.
Yeah, that's it. Ravina is saying that there is actually a disadvantage in the light of the avukah compared to the candle. The candle is steady; it's a steady stream of light. That's what the word nimshach. Nimshach means it continues. Whereas the avukah, it lights, but it stops. Every second it's stopping. Yeah. Shachar.
But I looked it up in Safari and it says that it's a salt word. I think it says it's a type of herb.
Yeah. Kotvim aluach means to pluck out from the ground salted type of plants. You know, the continuation of that pasuk, if I remember correctly, two words. Rav Vad used to use this a lot. Hakotvim maluach aleisiach. Am I right there? Aleisiach. I don't remember the rest of the pasuk. What does it say there? If you can continue the pasuk. Wow, that pasuk is giving a musar about people who waste their lives. So hakotvim maluach aleisiach. It's like people who pick out the salty parts from the edible part, so they're wasting their life. Rav Ovadia uses that in one place in his Hagdama to Yabia Omer on people who don't learn lehalacha. They only learn pilpul, but they don't come down to the halachic decision. So he uses this pasuk hakotvim alei maluach. Maluach alei siach. Sorry.
Why is that interview which seems like wasting time? Doesn't that need to be done? Like,
because no, when you're doing something but you're not doing what is productive, so you're wasting time. You're just wasting your energy. They are kotvim, but they're kotvim the wrong part. You know what I mean? So you are learning, but you're learning not lehalacha. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's begin the next Gemara. There are certain sugyot I want to get to, so let's just try to get through this here. Kol makom she'en machnisim, kol makom le'atu yemai. Whenever you have a Mishnah say the words kol makom, you know, when you have such a generality, a general language, so you can rest assured that the Gemara is going to ask, okay, what's hidden there? Whenever the Tana talks a general, that means you know there's something underneath. He's coming to hint at something. He's including something. So when it says kol makom she'en machnisim bo chametz, you don't need to do bedikah. What's kol makom le'atuye mai? Right? You understand what the meaning of the word latuye mai? You mind if I waste a few more minutes of your life? Latuye. What's the word latuye?
To include.
To include, right? But really it's not exactly to include. If you want to be exact, what does the word latuye mean? What's the shorish, what's the Aramaic shorish of the word latuye? I'll give you a hint. We sing it in Chad Gadya. Ve'ata, very good. Ve'ata shunra, ve'achla legadya. Ve'ata hashochet. What's ve'ata? And he came, right? To come, right? Ve'ata miri ve'vot kodesh. So le'atuye means to bring, to include, you're bringing something else. Where do we find the word to bring being used for including? Where do we find it? I'll give you a hint. Another place in the Agadah Shel Pesach. Where do we see that the word to bring is used in the connotation of to include? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm asking, where do we see another example where we use the word to bring? Because we just translated the word latuya means to bring, not just to include. To bring in, right? So where do we find that being used in the Lashon of the Tanaim instead of the normal word to include? And I gave you a hint, another place in the Agadah Shel Pesach. Huh? So that's the Aramaic. I'm saying, where do you see it actually in the Hebrew?
I was going to say Ish is Watak.
Huh?
I was going to say Ish is Watak. Atal Marod. That's more Arabic.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking for a Hebrew word in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Remember what it says, Kol Yemechayecha, Yemechayecha HaOlam HaZeh. Kol Yemechayecha. What's the next word? Lehavi Limot HaMashiach. Right? Remember that? Instead of lehavi, what does the Tana normally say? When you want to say to include, we say lerabot, right? Lerabot. But it said in the Mishnah said lehavi limot HaMashiach. Lehavi. What's lehavi? That's lerabot. It means to include, but it means to bring in. So that's the translation of leatuye. Leatuye, lehavi. Ma hatana mevi od. What is he bringing in to the picture here when he says Kol Makom, all right? But that's just for us over here, the connoisseurs, that this is not usually explained anywhere else. Anyway, I asked you permission to...
Why Lehavi not the robot?
No, I didn't say it's not. I wanted to show you that sometimes the Tana uses the word to bring in instead of the word to include. It's the same thing. I'm not saying why over here it says Lehavi, over here Lerabot. Woo, that would be a nice geonut piece to go through. But I'm just trying to show you that Leatuya means to bring in, and in fact we do find that connotation in one place, Lehavi Limot HaMashiach. It's the old way of the Mishnah to say Lerabot. Lerabot is more of the Gemara's way. The Mishnah says Lehavi. All right? So kol makom, the words kol makom, le'atuye mai, what is it coming to include? Le'atuye hadetanu rabbanan. As you know already, always the braita is the extended form or the expanded version of a Mishnah. The Mishnah says one line. It says kol makom she'en machnisim sham chametz, en tzarich bedika. However, the braita enumerates cases, specific places. The Tanu Rabbana we learned in a Braita, Chore Bayit holds in the wall of a house. Ha'elyonim ve'tachtonim. Abotai, I need you to picture the old time homes. You know, not just let's go into the Iratika, but you know, Iratika of 700, 800 years ago. Yeah, even more. 1,000 years ago. So you have on the walls, you have holds, natural holds. Chore Bayit. Ha'elyonim, the upper ones, the higher ones, ve'atachtonim, and the very low ones. So those are holds that you actually don't make any use with. You don't use them. You know, when you have holes, naturally in the olden days you had holes in the wall, so that would be a nice place to put your phone to charge. I mean, let's say to put your, you know, a flower here, or to put some, you know, something here. The people would use, they would be creative, they would use their holes, right? So the high ones and the low ones, that's inconvenient. They wouldn't use those. Surely not to put any kind of food, which is chametz. So that's included in the list of mekomot she'en machnisim b'hem chametz. What else? Gag hayatzia, the sloped roof, a roof that is slanted. Normally, the roofs, especially in those days, I think even Rashi points it out, were always flat. But sometimes you had gag hayatzia, so obviously you're not going to put anything on the roof there because it's going to roll off. So therefore, it's not a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. Gag ha-migdal, the top, the high top of a closet. Migdal over here, although migdal means tower, but it's like a tower-like pantry or closet that was built in to the house. On the top of that is not a place that machnisim bo chametz. Refet bakar, the cattle, the barn for your cattle, is not a place where you put chametz. Velulin, chicken coops. Matben, the place where you store the teven. Matben comes from the word teven, where you store hay, horse food. Veotzrot yain, the storage place for wine. Veotzrot shemen, the storage place for oil. En tzerichin bedika. All these examples, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all these 8 places do not require bedikat chametz.
In the Mishnah itself, we said that the Martef, isn't that the wine cellar?
Martef, Martef. The Martef.
Yes,
so we are going to answer that. The Gemara will answer that. We're going to see that when it comes to Otzot Yayin, Otzot Shemen, it depends which, and that will answer your question in regards to the Martef. Let's first see Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel omer, mita hacholeket betocha bayit umafseket tzricha bedika. A bed that people used to use as a divider in a room. They used to sometimes stand up an entire bed to act like a mechitza, to be like a divider in the room. And umafseket, so that's called hacholeket. And mafseket means that there is airspace between the ground and the mita itself. So there's a place of usage underneath that mechitza, underneath that mita, which is acting as a divider. Tzricha bedika. That itself, that place needs bedika. Why? Because it's very possible that you put, let's say, a stash of pitas over there, or who knows what, to keep them there. So therefore you need bedika. Let's stop here and look in Rashi. Rashi, yeah.
Did they sleep on this bed?
No. Many times we find that the word mita, although means bed, I'm not going to say that mita means another thing. Mita means bed. But we do find that it's used many times in the Mishnayot as not just for sleeping on it, but also as like a wall. You pick up the mita and you make it like a wall. That was a very common way for maybe poor people in those days, or maybe not, maybe even not poor, but that's how people used to like make a division. Let's say you needed people to sleep, and you had men and women, or whatever it may be, so you needed to make a divider in a room, and you could just put up a wall, so they would take a big mita, and they would stand it up, you know, and that would... Right, no, very good point. It doesn't mean a bed that you're sleeping on. It's a bed that was put up sideways to act as a wall. So underneath the actual part of the bed, right, you have some airspace where you could store things. Rashi, chorei habayit shebakotel, ha'elyonim ve'atachtonim, ha'gvoyim yoter midai, ve'anemuchim yoter midai. The ones that are very high, the ones that are very low, ve'en nochim lishtamesh, they are not convenient for usage, en tzarech livdok, you don't have to be bodek. Gag Hayatzia, Afapishu Namuch. Even if, let's say, it's a low roof, Ho'ilu Meshupa, since it is slanted, En Tzarich Livdok, you don't need to do Bedika. Aval She'ar Gagin Shelahem, Lo Hayu Meshupaim. But the normal roofs in those days were all flat roofs. And that you would have to do Bedika because they would use those roofs. You understand that? We don't use our roof like they used to use in those days. They used to, the roof was the most, was a very useful place in those days. They would bring up their fruit and they would dry them for months under the sun and have, you know, dried apricots or dried figs or dates, whatever it may be. That was the roof. So many times when you would go up for a supply of things from the roof, you'd come with your sandwich and maybe you forgot half of your sandwich up there. So that's why you have to do bedika. However, if it was Gag Hayatzia, if it's a slanted roof, it had no such use. Therefore, it did not require bedika. Yeah.
Couldn't we assume even that you left your sandwich there, the animals would eat it, or not necessarily?